It never produces what it promises. The devil is a liar. He ain't nothing but a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy what Jesus came to give us, which is life. And all life is in Him. The Lamb of God, the Son who left heaven, left the Father, came down here amongst us so that He could connect us so that we could be distracted and know Him. Amen. Ain't that an awesome thought? Praise God. I go one day, how about you? I got distracted. And He ain't left me alone since. This morning I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to read a very, very familiar passage. Y'all have all heard it. It goes with that song, Oh So Well, Come Alive. Sometimes you ever feel like you've been a member of Dead Bone Baptist Church? But you know what? In this text, God asked a preacher, can dead bones live? And old Ezekiel said, oh God, only You know. And he said, preach to them dead bones. And you know what happened? Them old dead bones came alive. Come alive. You know, we preached to dead hearts. When we was over in Meridian, where I pastored with Marcus for all them years, me and my brother-in-law, married to my sister, he was over there pastoring in a place called Zero, Mississippi. And I was in a place called Why Not, Mississippi. And this old boy named Brother David Cage, wasn't it? David Cage. He had come and we was talking with him over lunch, a bunch of preachers. And he said, where are you pastoring at, Brother Nick? And Mama used to make laugh, say, I got one bunch pastoring in Zero and one pastoring in Why Not. And he said, is it called Why Not Baptist Church? I said, it ought to be. And we was laughing about God got me in Why Not. Nick said, you think that's bad? God's got me in Zero. He said, when you get to Zero, you can't get no lower than that. He said, but the church is Mount Horeb Baptist Church. And this old boy said, well, you know, I'm over here in Tomb Suba Baptist Church. He said, you know what that means? He said, I looked it up in Choctaw. It was in Choctaw country. There's the reservation there. He said, in Choctaw, that means dead horse. He said, I'm pastoring Dead Horse Baptist Church. But you know, a lot of us has been members at times, if you're honest, when we all felt like we was a member of Dead Bone Baptist Church. Because you know what? We can do all the things, go through all the motions. But if God don't breathe the life into it, it's all frustrating, a waste of time, and it doesn't accomplish anything eternal. You know, we look here, and this was in some bad times for Israel. How many of you been in bad times? But I want to tell you, no matter how bad it gets, it don't get much badder than a valley filled with a defeated army, apparently, that had been killed and left to rot to where their bones had laid, where they died, untaken care of, left for the vultures to pick clean, for time to dry and remove all the evidence that they were ever anything that had life, to the point they were a bunch of dry, scattered bones in a valley. And that's where God brought Ezekiel to give him hope. Hope in a graveyard. Hope in the midst of hopelessness. And listen to this story as we read it in verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel says, and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he says to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. And again he says to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, that just means as I preached, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked up, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them. But there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And verse 11, I believe, is the most important verse of this passage. Because this is what God thought of them, and finally they seen themselves as God seen them. And listen to what it says in verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people. And God said, I will bless them. And we'll look at that in a minute. But I want you to think about this. You may say, what's that got to do with us? We're the church. That's the Old Testament. That's Israel. Every one of us is under the hand of God through covenant. There's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the covenant of law. We're under the New Testament, the New Covenant, the covenant of grace. Israel was chosen. They were the people of God. All the other nations was heathens. And you may not like to hear this, but anybody that you know that ain't blessed through the cross, washed in the blood, and ushered in through the sacrifice of the Son is out of covenant with God, and they are not part of God's eternal plan for his people. He said, oh, my people, hear my voice. And God speaks through his Son. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. He listens through his Son. And guys, through him, we have covenant promises that God made to us that are just as relevant, real, that we can apply to our lives in the Old Testament and learn from as we can in the New. Listen to what this verse says in Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. The King James says for our learning. That through the endurance or the patience and through the encouragement or the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You know what? Your situation, if God fixed your situation tomorrow, you're still not going to have hope. Hope doesn't come from God taking away all your problems. Hope comes from faith, and faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And as God speaks in his Word, and you listen to it, and you believe it, and you trust him, he proves every time that he honors and blesses and keeps what he says, his Word says he will do. If God speaks it, he'll perform it. Amen? And guys, listen to this. In Ezekiel's day, in verse 11, he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That's what Israel, my chosen people, look like. Why did they look that way? Because they hadn't listened to God's word. They had, in fact, shunned his word. They had walked and trampled his word, and they had lived the way they want to, but at the same time, they still had church. They still had temple. They still had Sabbath. They still had a sacrificial system. They had a priesthood. They were so proud of their holy city, Jerusalem, and their temple. And all of society was based upon that activity of what God had done at the temple. But guys, I want you to think about this. If you look at this, how did they get to that condition? I want you to see something. You ever looked at the first verse of the book of Ezekiel? Listen to what it says. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Ezekiel was a young priest. He had been in captivity in Babylon for 30 years when God began to speak to him. And he began to record and write the visions that God began to show him. Friends, how did they end up there? I want you to think about this. At the time of this writing, Jerusalem had fallen and been destroyed. The holy temple was gone. Most of the population of Israel had been exiled to Babylon and were now in captivity. As the captives, they were slaves under the rule and power of the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, the heathen Babylonians. They were now forced to live in a foreign enemy territory. Ezekiel says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among these captives. Not only was he among them, Daniel was among them. Daniel is written in the same time. He was there the whole 70 years they were there. And Daniel was a godly man. So was his three Hebrew children. They were godly. You see, what you got to understand, when enough people become ungodly, it don't matter how godly you are, it affects you. Your sin affects this church. My sin affects the people of God. And when enough of us get in sin, and if you was honest today, the church as a whole in America is a bunch of dead bones. There ain't enough life in us for us to change America, because we can't even change most of our homes. God, at a time when they were all in captivity. I want you to hold your place here in Ezekiel and flip over a couple pages with me to Jeremiah 29. And in Jeremiah 29, there's a wonderful verse that we like to use for encouragement, to remind us that God loves us, that He has a plan for us. And we take it completely out of context, and we don't even look at where it came from and why He gave it. But if you look with me and you check this out, you've all heard this verse before. Verse 11 of chapter 29. When you get there, say amen, Jeremiah. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to dig in the Word a little bit this morning to get where we need to go to get going. But I want you to look at this with me. You've all heard this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and what? Hope. When did He give them that? In the midst of their captivity when they first went in. Look at what it says in chapter 29. Look at verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were, look at this, notice this, carried away captive. And look who he carried away, the priest, the prophets, the preachers, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Friend, they left their homes, they lost their livelihoods, they lost their society. But more than anything, they lost their ability to worship and serve God. And the amazing thing is, God's the one that did it to them. Look what he says. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. Anyone who was of any worth and value and had potential to bless Nebuchadnezzar, he took them as slaves. If you had something that could contribute to his kingdom, he took you. That's why he took Daniel. Daniel was a wise young noble. That's why he took the three Hebrew children. They were men. Daniel, some people believe, was probably a eunuch. And he took a young man with his family who was a priest named Ezekiel. And Ezekiel grew up and lived his entire life as a child of God in a foreign nation under the rule of a heathen king. And he never, ever probably got to see Jerusalem again. And I want you to think what this says. Look, if you read down with me. It says in verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Guys, why would God do that? Because these people were not living for God anymore. They had their temple. They was church, but church was a weekend hobby. They wasn't interested about being the church. They just wanted to go to church. They wasn't worried about serving the church. They wanted the church to serve them. God was nothing but someone to get me out of my trouble, fix me when I'm in bad shape, bless me, bless me, bless me, fix me, take care of me. And that's where the church is in America today. If a church grows today, most of the time it's dependent not on what people want to come and do for the church. It's always what the church will do for us. And the church should be doing things for you. But the thing that we need to understand is, no matter what we do, if God's not doing the main thing, it's all just a religious scam. And they were living a religious scam, and God said, I'm tired of it. And he shut it down. Listen to what he tells them. He says, I'm not going to bring y'all home. I'm leaving you there. One prophet, one preacher was telling him the truth. His name was Jeremiah. He'd been preaching for 40 years when this happened, and the Babylonians came in and took the country, took the city, tore down the temple, and took them back into captivity with them. He'd been telling them it was going to happen, but they wouldn't listen. If you study. And then when it did happen and they were in captivity, guess what the other preachers was doing? We're God's chosen people. He's not going to hurt us. He's going to fix. Don't worry. He's going to get us fixed. He's going to take us out of our trouble. when God was the very one who had caused their trouble. You know, a lot of us, the reason our families are going through what they're going through is because God's allowed the consequences of your decisions to come upon you. Because you haven't truly done what God, and I'm not saying this has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with people who are saved, who want to live with the hand and favor of God over their life, who wants to see the power of the anointing and supernatural things happen amongst us that do change lives to where we're different. God doesn't want us to just get saved, be like everybody else, and hang on by the skin of our teeth and get to go to heaven. He wants to bring heaven to us. He wants to pour His life into our life. The moment He saves us. Listen to what He says. He says, don't listen to those other prophets. They're lying to you. He says, build houses. Look at verse 5. And dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons. And give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Go and live and prosper in this hard place. Look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city where I, here it is again, verse 7, have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. Verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners, that would be probably like some of your TV preachers today, who tell you, if you just got enough faith, you're going to be healthy and wealthy. Your best life is now. If you're not experiencing all the joy and happiness of life, you need to just think positive. What does he tell people when they get cancer and the doctor says you're in the hands of God? What does he tell people when you do everything you're supposed to do and your child rejects Jesus and chooses an alternative lifestyle? You just need to think positive. You just need more faith. No one had more faith than Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and the three Hebrew children. They were in the midst of it, my friends. And if you look around today in America, yes, we have a sanctuary. We have an oasis where we can gather in the name of Jesus and the presence of Jesus can be in here with us. And we can get a breath of power that comes from God and He can breathe life into that which is dead. But the truth of the matter is today most churches are double dead. They're dead and don't know it. They think we're okay. When no one has enough power to overcome their own sins, much less help a brother out. And I don't know about you, I'm preaching to Marvin this morning. I said, Lord, I need a breath. I'm tired of being a dead bone Baptist. I want you to breathe into me. I want to be able to give life because of the life you're putting in me. And guys, listen to this. Verse 10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed, at Babylon, then I will visit you and I will perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Then he says, for I know the thoughts of you. He says, the thoughts that I have towards you, he says, even though you're in punishment, you're under the disciplining hand of me, your God. Even though you are in a terrible situation in captivity by your own choosing, I want you to know that my thoughts that I think towards you or thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And he had a young preacher named Ezekiel who was not, he'd been there 30 years. He's, where's my God? God, do you see how we are? If you want to hear how they were, listen to this psalm. Psalm 137 was written by a fellow captive in Babylon. Just listen to these words real close. You don't have to turn there. Be turning back to Ezekiel 37 where we're going to preach out. But just listen to this. This was the heart of the captives by the time that Ezekiel was writing this in the 30th year of the captivity. He's been there. He's like sitting there at the riverside with them. Listen what they wrote. By the rivers of, this is in Psalm 137 if you want to write it down. This comes directly from the context of the Babylonian captives who are under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar's chastening hand that God's using against them. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, that's Jerusalem, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who had carried us away captive asked of us a song. they no longer had a song in them. They said, and those who plundered us requested mirth. You ever went to church and everyone says, why ain't you happy? What's wrong? We're fine. We're good. And deep down, you're lying through your teeth because you're miserable. And he says, here they are. They want me to sing with mirth and joy and happiness. And they said, they're requesting us a song. How can we sing, they said, in the midst of captivity? And here they are, they're saying, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Listen to this. This is the question they asked themselves. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can we do it? But this is the remnant, friend. This is the true saved. Even in the midst of the chastening hand, in the midst of captivity, listen to what they said. If I forget you, O my Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, Jerusalem, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chiefest joy. So what they said is, even when God seems far away, even when we're under the correction and the chastening and the discipline of God, and the Bible says that everybody who is saved, God disciplines. If you are without correction, discipline, chastening, you are not His, you're illegitimate. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. He corrects us. God don't say, you're lost again, I'm through with you. If you get saved, you get redeemed, you get born again, sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, you get adopted and God becomes your daddy. And He don't give up on you. But He will bring you to the woodshed. Anybody know what a woodshed is? You ever had to go cut your own switch? When my daddy unhooked that buckle, son, things got adjusted quick. Yes, sir, daddy, we got attention quick. He knew he didn't just wear his belt to hold up his pants. And friends, listen, anybody who ain't been whooped by God probably don't know God. Because we all need it from time to time. How many of you are thankful for them whoopings you got? Just think how bad we was with them. Just think we wouldn't have had them. Huh, Brother Lewis? God will straighten you out. And that's what He's in the midst of doing with them. Now, guys, let's think about this. There's no more holy city, no king in Jerusalem. All their spiritual rights and privileges as God's chosen people are now gone. No more temple worship, no more Sabbath day worship to Yahweh, no more Levitical priesthood, no more sacrificial offering for the forgiveness of your sins, so they don't have any way to forgive them, to get their sins taken care of. No more, went blank on that. We don't need to know that. But I want you to think about this. Day of Atonement. Once a year when they had the big day and everyone went and got their sins atoned for the next year as the nation. That's over with. I want you to think about this. It was at this great time of hardship in the midst of captivity, far from the promised land of milk and honey, seemingly far from God's presence, at a time like this that Ezekiel was given visions from God to minister to His beloved children. And listen to this. God had not abandoned His people. Their sin had caused Him to discipline them. Why? Because God wanted them to be close to Him. Do you know you can be in church every time the doors open and be far away from God as a lost person who's never been to church? In fact, if you can sit under preaching every day and continue to walk in sin and live rebellious to God, you're worse than a sinner who's never heard the truth. And friends, listen, we need to understand that there's consequences when we purposely and consistently persist in rebellion against God. And that's what sin is. You can say what you want. Now listen to this. These words were not easy to hear in Ezekiel's day, nor are they easy to read in our day. But I want to tell you something, my friend. If you belong to God and you continue to persist in habitual sin, your sins will find you out and eventually God will discipline you. You cannot habitually live in carnality and enjoy the joy and the peace and the love and the self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit. And if you continue to sow, sooner or later you're going to reap what you sow, because the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. And if you sow to the flesh and carnality and you let the old man rule, the old man's going to bring trouble into your life. But if you sow into the new man and let the Holy Spirit have control of your life and let Him take the Word of God and let Jesus be Lord and you follow Jesus and you let the Holy Spirit help you, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. That's why Jesus said it's the narrow road. Few go down it. It's the difficult road. Not many want it. But the wide road, the religious road that eases your conscience but never changes your life is the road most Baptists want today. And friends, listen to this. If this truth of God's faithfulness was revealed over and over and over throughout God's Word. Look at the history of Israel. God always disciplines His children. But after He disciplines, He always restores and revives them once they are willing to what? Repent. Aren't you glad for repentance? You see, their biggest problem, Jerry Vines hit the nail on the head. He said they were into a condition spiritually that they were now having to live on what they used to be instead of what they ought to be. Let that sink in, brother. They were so spiritually far from God that they were now having to live on what they used to be instead of what they ought to be. That's what's wrong with a bunch of churches. Boy, this is how we've always done it. They don't want new wine. They still trying to drip a drip out of the old wineskin that ain't had nothing in it in years. And God's got newness. Anything alive is changing. Anything that's living is not going to stay the same. And anyone who has a future is looking to the future, not the past. If you're more focused on the past than your future, you're dying. Because the future is where God's bringing us. The past is over, my friend. And if your heart is more loving the past, you're going to get left if Jesus shows up. Because Jesus is taking us to the other side. Jesus is saying, get in the boat. Let's go. I got things to teach you. Yeah, we're going to hit a storm. We're going to go through troubles. But through it all, you're going to see who I am. I'm the man who can calm storms. I can heal disease. I can raise the dead. Amen. If you'll follow me, it won't be easy, but I'll make it possible. And you'll experience the glory of God. We're happy with church. The bills are paid. They like the preacher. Everyone's getting along. Praise God. And that's good. It ought to be that way. But that don't mean God is finished. That don't even mean God has started. Guys, think about this. Look at it. I want to talk to us. And I done forgot my thing. 3 points. And then we just get into my points. That's my introduction. So hang on. The dead bones. The dead bones. He said, I want to show you something, Ezekiel. I want to show you. Yeah, you're in a bad situation. You've been there 30 years. All you've ever seen is my chastening. You haven't seen the blessing. You wasn't there in the glory days of David and Solomon. You happen to be born in the days when the people have disobeyed. But I want you to know I'm not through with y'all. And though you are dead bones, though you are dry, very dry, though you have lost your hope, and though you feel cut off, I want you to know something. Can them dead bones live? And Ezekiel said, oh no, Lord, you know. And he said, preach to them. It sounds stupid to preach to dead bones, huh? But if you're going to be a pastor, you better preach to them dead bone Baptists. If you're going to make a difference, you better preach to them dead hearts. You better call out, come alive. Because he had to believe in something that most people would say, you're a fool to believe. Only you know God. And what he began to do, what did he do? He began to preach. He began to prophesy. And them old bones, Brother Witt, they began to move. You ever remember that old song, them bones, them bones. They began to come together. And so spiritual death, complete loss of hope, an army that had been totally destroyed in battle, who had been left in disgrace on the battlefield till it rotted, till the vultures picked it clean, till time dishonored it to the point they were nothing but scattered, dry, dead bones. To a Jew, that was the highest disgrace to not be properly cared of. And it would have been very uncomfortable for Ezekiel being a priest because you ain't supposed to be around nothing dead. It'll defile you. So what's he do? He preaches because God told him to. And those bones begin to come back together. Look at it with me. This is, as we read this, I want you to think about this. This is what God did through this man. And I promise these points are going to be short. But listen, as he began to preach, the bones began to come together. And when they all came together, listen to what it says in verse. I'll find it here in a minute. 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and I say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and you shall bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so listen to what he says. So I prophesied. I did what God told me. I obeyed him. And as I was commanded, and as I preached, there was a noise, and suddenly the rattling of the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked upon the sinews and the flesh, they came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. A lot of churches think that they can organize, that they can gather together to the point that we can be the army of God. Friends, listen, you can organize, you can administrate, you can set up programs and have everything regimented in the traditions of what we've always done. And in the past, that might have been anointed and God might have had breathed life into it, but you can be doing everything that a Baptist church should do. And it can look like there's flesh on it. It can look like it's, but if God's not breathing into it, it's nothing but a corpse. And a lot of the churches are like a corpse. We got all these ministries going on. We got all this activity. We've got all this happening. We've got bank accounts and facilities. We even got a crowd sometimes. But there's no life of God flowing in us. You ever been there? Because no matter how good we look on the outside, the most important thing about a child of God is what God's doing on the inside. And if we have all the exterior and all the things that men look at and say, boy, they got it going on there, but lives are not being changed and the power of God, life is not flowing through us, we're just a corpse. So he said, don't just preach to the bones, preach to my breath. When's the last time you said, God, breathe on me? Jesus, please blow some spirit on my life. Lord, breathe into me. I don't know about y'all, but when I got home from the beast feast, I was like, I need a big, deep breath of Jesus. I was physically and mentally just ready to quit. But you know what? I went to bed, said, thank you, Lord. Got up next morning, praise Jesus. And you know what? Here I am going again. But you can't do it without him. I want you to think about this. He said, pray to the breath. And listen, when the breath came on them, listen what it says happened. Verse 9, also he said to me, the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. You see, until God breathes on us, we're not really alive. And listen what he says. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know what, God, he's called us not just to be a church that survives, but to be a people that thrives. He's called us to do more than just get by. He's called us to stay in defensive mode. He's called us to go into the battle in the name of the Lord and let him fight his fight through us. We're here to be an army. And how do you do that? You got to have God's life in us. Friends, it's not going to be easy for BLAST to truly bring spiritual change to where we're going and picking up these kids. If you think you can continue to have all these kids come and have all of the hookings of a blessed, fruitful ministry and not have the devil show up, you don't know much about God. And if you think worse than that, that you can live like the devil and be not much different than the world and talk like the world, disrespect one another like the world, have no submission and humility in your life and allow authority and righteousness to reign over your life and see God do this, you're going to end up dry bones sooner or later if you're saved. Because God don't want us to be dry bones. He wants us to be a living, breathing army. And you know what he does? When we believe, he told them, after 70 years, you'll be ready to seek me. Listen to what he told them. Don't turn back, but just listen. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, not of hope. Then, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, then I will visit you and perform my good what? Word towards you, and cause you to return to this place, Jerusalem. Listen to what he says. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Not part of your heart, not most of your heart, all of your heart. I know we hear this, say, that's a difficult message. You think it's difficult? You should have been living in Ezekiel's day. If you don't like it, I'm sure Ezekiel didn't like it. But that's the reality that we don't want to deal with. Do you think God's going to let a church just act like the world? Men disrespecting one another, and he's going to send a bunch of lost men up here that need to see the love of Jesus, and we ain't even loving one another? No, he ain't. If we're not going to get under his authority and let him lead through how he has designed the body to be functioning and lead, he ain't going to bless. But we think, oh, we can do it our way. We can talk like the world, cuss like the world, act like the world, but God's just going to keep pouring out blessings. Keep dialing that. Keep seeing how long that lasts. And friends, listen, blessings come. Because listen what he said, the divine blessing. This is unbelievable. Look at what it says in verses 11 through 14. Then he said, Son of man, the bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost. We ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, not the world, not the lost. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you back into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Listen to what he says in verse 14. This is unbelievable. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Thus says the Lord. Friends, you know what? God has told us that if we repent and we turn to Him, He turns to us. If we submit, the devil must flee, and he comes to us. Listen, spiritual faith is what God has spoken, not what you want God to do. What God says He's going to do. You can't force God to do something He says I'm not going to do. And then people on TV that'll tell you, if you got enough faith, name it and claim it. Show me that in one place in this book. God speaks out through the Word and gives us promises. And through those promises, we receive them by faith. And when God says it and you believe it and you trust Him, He performs it. And guys, God has promised to build His church, to bless His church, to grow His church. God wants the church to prosper. He wants the church to grow. He wants the church to be a light, to be salt, to be an influence in a dying world. We are to be life, but that life must come from Him. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I look at this, I say, you're encouraged by that? Sure am. I'm encouraged much more by the faithfulness of God than the faithfulness of the church. Are you? If we're waiting on the faithfulness of church, we're in trouble. I was telling Shelby the other day, I said, look at the church. If any business operated and ran things the way the church does, it would be out of business long ago. The fact that the church is still in business 2,000 plus years after Calvary tells me that it's all God, it ain't us. And because He's long-suffering, patient, kind, and He doesn't give up easily, there are remnants of where God is truly blessing. But if we would get honest today, how many churches are truly flourishing, turning the world upside? How many churches are looking like an army? Most of us are just getting by. And I don't know about y'all, God can do more than just get us by. Brother Marcus is going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. You know, if you're saved today, regardless, God has got that plan for your life. Today, it starts with being saved. As Brother Shelby comes, you know, maybe you want to come pray with Brother Shelby or pray with me. But I'm going to tell you what. If you are in a place right now that you know that God is not able to bless, don't think you can stay like that forever. Your sins will find you out. He will discipline. He will, because He loves us, bring us to a place to where He will draw us back. Listen to this. This comes from Jerry Vines also, and I'm going to close. Jerry Vines says, God uses the hardships in life that He allows to invite us and force us into a deeper relationship with Himself. That's a man of God. Jerry Vines is an unbelievable man. I'm a peon. God uses the hardships in life that He allows to invite us into a deeper relationship with Himself. A lot of times you say the devil's doing this. It's not. And whatever's happening in our life, God's allowing. You know what? God loves you so much that He'll let you get sick and tired of sick and tired till you'll come back to Him. Today, come back on your will and let Him be who He says He is. As we stand, let us pray.